Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to a conversation with author of The Roar, A.M. White.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Hi, Oscar. How are you?
A.M. White? I'm
yes,
happening.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
I'm glad. I'm really good. Pleased. I'm really happy to be here with you and
thank
to allow others to hear about this exciting work that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
So,
I do appreciate it.
Well, to begin, I'm going to tell people who I am just for a moment, and then we'll get right back to you. And what I want to ask you to do at that point is just to introduce those who will be listening to us a little bit about you, and then we'll proceed from there about talking about your passion to become a writer and when you knew you were going to be a storyteller and then got to producing The Roar. First, I want to say to everybody, I'm Oscar Crawford. My company is Oscar Crawford Media. There are three of us who write for the company. We write like crazy people. We're always writing. We really can't stop. We have stories to tell, but we certainly enjoy our interaction with other authors, and that's why I am here today with author A.M. White. She's going to be talking to us today about her latest work called The Roar. It is the first in what will be a series. I'm sure she's going to be talking to us about the first book and the one that will be coming out very soon. So right now, Alicia, would you just talk to everybody a bit so we could get a glimpse or a peek into who you are and how you became a writer?
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate you having me. my name is Alicia White, and I know on the book I have it as A.M. White, but I wanted to make sure that I told you a little bit about myself, like you asked. I am a teacher here in Tampa, Florida. I work with children, and one of the biggest things that I see is that a lot of times writing becomes a chore. And it's something that I've always enjoyed, and so I decided to pick it up again and really just enjoy sharing it with others and trying to inspire the kids that I teach, even if it's not something that they necessarily want to do, but to, you know, be inspired just to go after something that they really enjoy doing themselves.
Okay, so tell us, what age are the kids that you teach?
Well, for right now, I'm teaching 7-year-olds, but I have taught ages between 9 and 12, mostly in the past. So they're right at that age where they're starting to have a lot of feelings and, hormones and all that other fun stuff. All those things are starting to kick in, and they have all of these emotions that they can't really know how – they don't really know how to express yet. And so one of the things that I really have aimed to try and show them as an outlet for that has been through writing.
Well, I think that's exceptional. In my own work with children over the years, I've discovered that if you can incite and inspire children to be creative, they will be excited about sharing that with you. And it's almost as if whenever they see you, they can't wait to tell you, look at what I did last night, or this is what I'm thinking. Help me think through it. So you are in the midst of a really exciting life.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's quite something when you have a 7-year-old that's really excited about writing a haiku or writing a poem. And there's just nothing like that. I wouldn't give that up for anything.
And I don't blame you at all. I think one of the things that we who write do, we may not always be able to articulate it, but we really want to touch other people. And writing is a legitimate, safe, legal way to engage people, whether we ever meet them or not. And you know, like I know, a lot of people engage us online through our ventures in social media that we may never, ever meet, but something about our engagement with story and with them adds another level of fulfillment to their life. Are you finding that for yourself?
Oh, yes. And in this journey, actually through social media outlets and things like that, I I was kind of at the, you know, newbie level there with that before I became an actual, you know, author of a book. And so being able to reach out and talk to people in all corners of the earth, places I could never even dream of going in my lifetime, having conversation with those people, learning about them, having conversations about my work, about their work, has really been really, I mean, it's been really quite exceptional, and I really enjoyed learning about other people's, you know, viewpoints. I'm one of those, though, that I really like to listen to other people's opinions and try to grow myself. And so it's been really neat to get kind of an overview of the world just through this experience, and I'm really hoping to keep that continuing.
I am sure that is going to be happening for you. There's no doubt in my mind that it will. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you know, one of the things that I was just thinking as I listened to you talk, my latest work that I call Burning Flame, that really grew mm-hmm. out of a person that I met on Instagram who lives in another country that I learned her name meant Burning Flame. And from there, it was as if the story downloaded for me, and I've just been, you know, working it out. And by meeting one person someplace else, they know someone and that know someone. And so our worlds get to be a bit bigger than they were when we were not sharing ourselves with a larger audience. So I honor you for what you're doing. All right. You ready to talk about the roar?
Definitely.
No, go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt you where you're going. Oh, I was just going to say to you, yeah, one of the things that's really been neat about that experience and getting to know other people is I'm just fascinated by the fact that every person in this world has their own story, which has been their life. They haven't written it down, or they have, it doesn't matter. But just even learning about people from where they've come from and learning about their experiences, it's just something I kind of happen to soak up as a sponge, and I guess it's probably why I teach and also why I write. But it really, like you said, it has really opened up that world to me as far as, I mean, I've spoken to people who live in places like Bangladesh, you know, at Philippines. It's just, it's really amazing.
I understand. I do. Okay. I can tell we're going to have lots to talk about over time, and maybe we'll get to do this again at another point when your next book comes out. But let's go into this fascinating book that I read. No, there's one more question I want to ask you first. You do an incredible job with your graphic design. You do all of that yourself?
Yes, I do.
That's a great asset for writers.
Well, thank you. Yeah, as of right now, I am an indie author. The next stage would be to try and go forward looking for a publisher and stuff like that. But I have really, really tried to go at this the right way and, you know, try and make everything as professional as possible. So that if it does eventually end up in the hands of a publisher or something like that that's really interested in it, they actually aren't going to have a whole lot left to do.
No, I understand. I understand. And I wish you all the best with that. Okay.
Thank you.
So I discovered you on Instagram, and I started seeing your post talking about the roar, and I began to say to myself, what in the name of God could come from a title called The Roar? And so I got access to your book, and then I began to read it, and I said, oh, my goodness, this person has a vision of the future none of us want to arrive at, but if we should, we need to have some idea of how we might survive. So as I began to read and the darkness of it as it began, and then when some hope began to enter into your narrative, then it takes on a whole other world, because that's what humans live for. We live for hope. So talk to us about how this story came to you, and then you began to develop your characters for it. I don't want to give more away in your book than necessary, but I'd like people mm-hmm. just to get a taste of it so we might incite them to go out and get your book and read it.
Okay, great. Thank you. I actually live in a little town here in Florida called Wesley Chapel. And I have lived in this area for over 20 years. But when I moved to this new little town that's just a little ways away, I started experiencing this phenomenon here where I would hear this loud boom, and it was something very sporadic. It wasn't something that, you know, this time, you know, 5 o'clock every Friday night or anything like that. But this boom would actually rattle the windows. You could feel it almost in the air. It was almost like a sonic boom, but it was happening so frequently. It was just happening so frequently. So basically, over time, I'm finding out that other people were hearing it. It was on social media, people reporting it through the community sites, things like that. I just started having these thoughts of, like, well, what could this be? So it's almost like I wrote my own myth, and it turned into a story about where that sound could be coming from.
No, see, that's incredibly exciting. Now, people who have not given themselves to write or to be a writer, it may be a little bit difficult for people to understand, but when you write or have this itch in you to craft story, it can almost be born anywhere at any time.
Correct. Absolutely. And this, having this experience and sharing it also, because at first I thought here I am, I'm going crazy, I'm hearing things now. But, you know, having people around me here, my dad was here, you know, to hear, have him, and then just get that reassurance on social media that, okay, other people within, like, about a 5 to 10 mile radius around. So it was really, it was like one of those things that, you know, couldn't find science to explain it. So it just irked at my brain to come up with that storyline.
Okay, so how long after you began to have this experience of hearing these, because I was going to ask you, I won't now, but I was going to ask you, make the sound of a roar so we could hear it, because all I was hearing was a lion roar. But now I got a better picture of what you're experiencing. So from the time you began to hear that, how long did it take before you began to say to yourself, oh, I have something to write about?
It was actually pretty shortly after that the idea struck me. It just took a little bit of a nudge as far as a brush with my own mortality for me to kind of be pushed into the direction of, okay, I need to write this down. It's something I always wanted to do, to write and complete a novel. But it just seemed like, okay, you have this really interesting idea. Let's see where it goes. And especially now, because at that time, you know, having that kind of mortality issue and questions up in the air, like do or die, basically. You know, either you do it now or you might not have a chance.
Okay, because, I mean, that had been intriguing to me. I'd seen you make that statement before, that an experience of regard for your mortality was one of the prompts. So you didn't have a near-death experience, didn't have a crazy car accident. This was just an observation to yourself?
No, it was actually, I had a health issue. I went in for a regular checkup and ended up having to have biopsies done and things like that, where they found a mass in one of my breasts. So it was definitely a very scary time, and I already had this feeling that, oh my gosh, I have too much left to do. Like, there can't be anything wrong with me. I have too much to do. I'm too busy. And one of the things that I just kept pushing aside in my own life was sitting down and writing a book, which is something that has always been, you know, kind of on my, you know, a bucket list, if you will. And so decided to go for it.
Okay, so tell us all that you're well now. That's past or ongoing?
It is. It's something that we keep an eye on, but for right now everything is going well. So.
Okay, I'm really happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Yeah, here's one of those things that happens for me, and I don't regard myself to be that very different, but after I began to know people and have some contact with them, I begin to love people. And, you know, none of us want to have the feeling that our friends go through suffering that none of us would like to go through. So I'm really happy for what you just shared. All right.
Thank you. You
got your idea. It's fallen into, you know, you've got a story to tell. How did it begin where you craft a character, a strong female character who gets to be the primary victim that we get to see from the beginning? How did you craft her experience to be the opening, and then maybe even make her the crux of how things will resolve, you know, some books down from now. How did you come to that?
Well,
and speak to that as much as you want. I mean, you can tell the name of the character, whatever you want to do.
Well, thank you, Alex. Honestly, there are a lot of parallels in my characters to people that I know in real life. And Alex has a lot of me in her. And that sometimes it feels like it's a dangerous thing to have hope. And trying to bottle that up and put this hard wall on, this exterior that you're, you know, just going through the motions, I find that as actually as part of my own personality. And that's not always a good thing. But there are these moments in life and moments that even in, like, the darkest moment, we have that little glimmer of hope that comes back up. And that little glimmer of hope can keep us going to do great things. So her character like that is, like I said, kind of mixed with my own personality traits. But the other characters are mixtures of people that are definitely either people that are part of my life now or people that were part of my past.
No, I think that's powerful because it makes our work more real to us as we experience it and putting it into word form. I think it's one of the most powerful things that we do. And I know,
yeah,
we all have to make that comment in the opening of our text that, you know, this is all fictional. It has nothing to do with anybody real or past. But we cannot write what we do not experience. And there may be some people who are really gifted at just writing, and they can make things really pretty and nice, and the masters love it. But that's never really what I'm going for. I want people to experience me and to experience my work, but I want them to have a very real experience. I actually, and I've invited people to do this with your work, I invite people to step inside a text when they read it so that they're not just reading, but they're experiencing it. That makes book writing and book reading a much more developed experience. What do you think?
I definitely agree. And one of the things that just in writing the story, I called the whole process to me was almost like a backwards movie. I was seeing it in my head the whole time. I could just see, and it would just flow like literally watch a movie in my brain and it coming out of my hands. There was no planning process outline. I know some people have pages and pages of written work like that, but I had to get it all out and then go back and go through the editing and the smoothing it out and all that stuff. But the cool thing was with that process of seeing it in my head first and it coming out is that I was so emotionally involved in it. Some nights when I would, you know, have to run in. I do a lot of writing outside, but if I would have to run in and grab a drink or, you know, take care of something, sometimes I'd be doing it so hastily that my husband would be like, what's going on? And I would say, well, I'm at a really intense part right now. I need to hurry up and get back out there. Or there were even times that, like, I was so emotionally involved in it that I was literally shaking from it. And so that's been quite an experience. Yeah, it's been quite an experience doing that.
Okay, so we have this experience going on in your storyline where, and I know this word probably shakes many people, this dystopian tale of a very dark, a dark future that many of us might consider like the times of Mel Gibson movies or the apocalypse or those kinds of things. But it's really just a dark moment in humanity's history. That people have to decide, like people who've been slaves in the past. You know, am I just going to accept this, or am I going to continue to hope that something good will come to end this really horrible situation? Now, you develop characters who are literally the image of the enemy, but they are not the enemy. How did you come to that?
I guess in my... Again, I think a lot of that comes from probably, it sounds like kind of egocentric, but in my own experience, if I've been put in a situation where all of a sudden I realize that I'm part of the enemy, quote unquote, I tend to rebel against that. Just as I have a really hard time often conforming, and especially when I was younger, it was almost like a, you know, an authority issue, quote unquote, that I had. And so these things that I actually experienced in my life, I thought, okay, well, the best heroes are the ones that rise above the situation, the common, you know, what everyone else is doing, those kind of things, and actually goes out and tries to make things really right, whether or not they came from that enemy or that, you know, group of people that started the problem in the first place.
Okay, now I really value that. Gosh, I wish we had time to do that one. Maybe we'll pick that one up again another time, but I think that's valuable. In light of my own personal professional work outside writing, I work with women who've suffered violence in some context, in some point in their life, and usually before they're adult. And, you know, I felt funny about it because I was a guy, but I saw that what I was doing had some positive effect. And so that's preoccupied 30 years of my adult life. And maybe we'll talk about that some other time when we're just talking. But I fully understand that sometimes we have to get past what looks like if I had met you and we didn't know each other in any context, because of things that I know women go through, I would find it responsible to myself to make sure that you know that even though I might bear the image of the enemy, that I am not. And then I have to live that out and demonstrate that. And I think that's just responsible living for the time that we're alive in. Okay.
Right.
So in your story, you take us through where Alex gets an invitation to make a break. I mean, she's you know, almost put hope on hold because, like you said, hope is dangerous. But she takes the risk. How did you get to that?
Well, I feel like it was at a point in the story where things are becoming a little bit more crucial, more urgent in the compounds and with the enemy, so to speak. There was something happening where people were beginning to disappear. And the idea of that to the main character was even worse than the alternative, which was to die or to die trying, to leave and to escape. And so when the offer was given to her of there's an actual way for me to at least try and not just disappear and nobody ever know what happened to me or, you know, who knows what that means to myself or to my body, she definitely took the way out. It would be better to at least, you know, have that threat of dying trying than to sit there and just do nothing at all, ever.
Well, I know, and I think that's probably challenging for some people who are burdened with levels of suffering, whether it's, you know, drug addiction or violence. Mm-hmm. When people show up to help, it scares people really bad because they don't know who to trust. And you know that when you take that risk could be fatal. But if you don't take it, you may never have another opportunity to break free. Wow.
Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, this is what I admire about where your drama is taking people. It doesn't just take people from, I mean, sometimes the escape is the easy part, surviving.
Right.
And you do this very, very well. You never allow your primary characters to relax because to relax could be fatal. Talk about just generally through some of those things where they're always watching out for each other or they're getting injured or getting shot or getting cut. Talk about how you got to some of that.
Well, I think when the story is flowing through me, honestly, probably as far back as I can remember, I had nightmares about, not every night, but somewhat regularly, about like apocalyptic situations. And most of the time, a lot of it also deals with the survival of it and about how other people would act. I mean, all this plays out in these dreams that I've had since childhood. And so it kind of, that right there gave me a ledge to go off of as far as, you know, if you're out in a situation where you could be around other people, you know, not only are the enemies the enemy, because those we know about, but you don't know about what's lurking in other people's intentions. And like you said, a lot of those tones are really kind of present in our everyday life as well. It's just in these types of stories, it's definitely much more out there and in your face.
Well, I would agree. I mean, some people go through this at their job, right? Some people find it really stressful going to jobs that they hate or places where they feel mistreated, or even going home. I mean, you and I probably both know families where a husband or a wife or lovers or whatever, you know, they really find it a terrifying thing to have to go home where there's that much misery but don't know really how to break free. That's a hell. That's a hell. I don't care where you are, where you experience. That's a hell. It's a living hell.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I want you to go ahead because I'm going to push you one last place because we'll be running out of time here shortly.
Okay. Well, basically, I was just going to say, I definitely common theme that, you know, in a dystopian or a post-apocalyptic world, sorry, I just stumbled over my words, in that type of world, you're definitely going to have those situations that are more, you know, open. We have those themes throughout our life as well, like you were talking about.
Yeah. Okay, do this, and take a couple of minutes to do this if you like. Talk to people just generally. Tell people what, give more information about The Roar and why you'll be excited if people go to get your book and read it and then engage you on social media. And just tell them the places that they can get your book.
Okay, great. Well, The Roar, even though my name is Alicia White, is my written name is A.M. White. The book itself is a dystopian young adult plus novel. It is available through Amazon, pretty much in every country that Amazon is available, and then also through Barnes & Noble. It's also ebook and in paperback. The book itself it really just takes you through this journey, these group of people that are trying to find some peace in this world. And, you know, Alex has been in a situation where she's gone through the end of the world and now has to learn how to live in this new, very dark and scary place outside of, even though being held as a slave and working inside of a compound sounds miserable enough, sometimes beyond the wall can seem a little bit scary too, and there's quite a bit out there that is unsafe and looking to harm or take advantage of other people. So she's kind of learning that as she goes along. She does have a couple of friends along with her on the ride, and they have a little bit more experience with that and more experience with the enemy. I'm going to leave that a little bit open there because it is something that would be a little spoiler. But we follow them and we see this character of Alex grow over time to being more open to life, even if it is going to be hard and there are going to be challenges ahead. And every day is a struggle. Every day is not a given. So she just has to figure out how to live life in the situation she's in and do the best she can to enjoy it, her time on this earth.
Okay, Alicia, I think that's wonderful. And we've got 60 seconds left. I want to thank you for spending this time with me. And I really want to give you the last moment to say any last thing to our listeners. Thank you for doing this. I want people to know that they can come to Instagram and follow The Roar. It's _the_roar_. So look for The Roar on Instagram, follow Alicia, and keep up with her exciting work. We will do this again sometime because she's got a new book that's going to come out mid-November. We'll want to make sure and bring you up to date about that. All right, Alicia, say your closing thoughts and goodbyes, and we will plan to do this again.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Well, I certainly did, and I appreciate knowing you, and I wish you the best in your work. Take care.
Thanks.
It's done.